You got your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 3 is where we're going to be in the Word of God today. Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. We'll be breaking in at the first verse of this chapter. I love the Word of God and what it means to us in our life. If you would, let's stand as we reverence God's Word and read it this morning. Acts chapter 3, verse 1. The Bible says, "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. And Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took up him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping and stood and walked and entered with him into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat at alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. They were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him." Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you, Lord, for this great example of your great presence and your healing power in this man's life. God, speak to us through this word that we may grow from it and learn from it today. Hide your man, Lord, behind the shadow of the cross, that you'll receive all the glory and all the honor out of this today, and we'll love and we'll praise you. In Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, Amen. You can be seated. Here we see Peter and John going to the temple to pray. Jews observe prayer at least three times a day, 9 and a.m., 3 p.m., and again at sunset. And they're going there to pray and to worship. A lot of times God sends us places and we don't know how he's going to use us. We have intentions of doing certain things, but, you know, God could have intentions for other things. I'm glad that his time is not our time. His ways is not our ways. But we need to be ready at a moment's notice to do the will of God. Can I hear from you this morning? So I'm going to preach on a thought this morning, a message that God gave me many, many years ago. I've told with the Lord all week, and the Lord said he wanted this message preached, so I'm going to bring it to you today and give you what God has given me. I'm going to simply entitle it, God Can. God Can. I would ask you this morning, is there anything too hard for God? Think about that. Are there anything too hard for God? Can he really take care of you? Now, us that have been through a lot of sickness and God has brought us out of that, and a lot of us have been through some hard financial things and some that have lost this and lost that, and God has brought us through and restored us and done all these great things, we can answer this question and say, God can do anything. God can bring me through anything. But you may be here this morning and really don't understand maybe what God can do. And I want to help you understand this morning with the help of the Lord. Over in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, the Bible says, Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened. There's a lot to that verse. And these verses that I'm going to read to you is not a person that just lives a halfway life. is not a person that just needs God on Sunday. It's not a person that just needs God when they're sick. But this is a person that walks with God and talks with God and lives for God and does the will of God in their life. So he says, if you ask, it shall be given you. If you will seek, you'll find it. And if you'll knock, it'll be open unto you. And that's a very deep... I could stay on that verse right there and never preach another verse, never talk about another thing. If we would seek this out in our life, God would bless our lives and meet our needs today. Now, a lot of times we pray repetitiously, we pray with vainful heart, and we don't really seek after the will of God. God, give me this. God, give me that. God, help me do this. God, help me do that. Give me. What are you going to do for me? But have you ever taken the time and got up in the morning and said, Lord, I don't want nothing today. All I want to do is thank you, Lord. I thank you for getting me out of the bed. I thank you for giving me something to eat. I thank you for my companion. I thank you for my children. I thank you for the health that I've got. Lord, I just want to thank you for all that you've done. You ever had days like that? That's the kind of day you ought to have. If you ain't had one in a while, you ought to get one like that. Don't ask the Lord for nothing. You may have needs that high, but just decide to push them aside and say, Lord, today I just want to thank you for all that you've done for me. And you'll see your life and your day just turn around. Why? You're seeking the will of God. You're asking for His help. You're seeking that will. You're knocking and say, Lord, I love you today. I just want to praise you today. And He'll pour out His blessings upon you like you never have had before. I love that verse. Over in John chapter 14, verse 14, the Bible says, if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Talking again about a Christian that walks with God. If we're walking and seeking His will, He will do it. Philippians 4:19. He said, but my God, I love this right here. He said, but my God, I'm glad He's my God, amen. I don't know about you, Aaron, but He's my God. He can supply all of my needs according to His riches in glory, amen. I'm glad I told Him a while back, I'm glad that He don't feed me bologna sandwiches all the time, but sometimes He'll get me a good old steak and fix it up and bless me real good and give me all the fixings with it. But there ain't nothing wrong with bologna. I like bologna every now and again, but He said He's supply all of my needs according to His riches in glory. Let me tell you what, He don't want you to sit by in poverty. He's going to bless your life if you'll seek Him first, amen. He'll bless your life. He's blessed my life even when I haven't sought Him first. Can I hear from you this morning? We don't deserve nothing this morning. A lot of times people sit back in their Sunday suits and their Sunday dresses with their nose stuck up in the air and say, okay, Lord, bless me now. He don't owe us nothing. If He never give you and I a single blessing for anything, He's still worthy to be praised, amen. If I was sick every day of my life, He's still worthy to be praised, amen. If I wasn't nothing but a beggar on the street, He's still worthy to be praised. Why? Because He went to a cross of Calvary and He shed His blood, amen, that I might be born again. He's worthy this morning of all of our praise. Bless His holy name. But my God shall supply all of my needs. He has never failed me when I'm in need. He said His children wouldn't be begging for bread. And He would supply our needs. And He has done that. And He's done it in a wonderful way. And here we see this man, and he's laid at the beautiful gate, and he's been in need. He's been lame, and he's asking of alms. Why? He can't help himself. He's there. He needs help from people. And there's times people really need help, and we really need to reach out to them and help them. If God has blessed you abundantly, you ought to help people. If God has blessed you with a lot of possessions, you ought to help somebody. You ought not hoard up all of that stuff and say, look what I've done. I remember one time in the scriptures where a man said, I know what I do going to do all this stuff that I have. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to build bigger barns for all of my stuff. And he told him there, he said, thy fool, your soul is going to be required of you this very night. When we think we have done something and we've built up a whole lot, I'll tell you one thing, he can fall as fast as you got it. It can be gone just like that. Just like that, it can be gone. You can have all the plans in the world. You can have the biggest bank account, the biggest house, the finest cars, and it can be gone just like that. And you can be just like the beggar on the street. Well, I would never be like that. You better watch it. You may end up that way. If you shut up your bowels of compassion, that will come on you. You cannot shut up your bowels of compassion. You got to have a giving heart, a loving heart that God can use. Why? Because he's supplying all your needs. You ought to be a blessing to somebody else. I'll give you this because what the Holy Spirit's given me. You know, these lights in this church don't just, when you come in here, they just don't come on. They're just not here. I mean, we come in, the lights are burning, the heat's on, and everything's wonderful. The seats are comfortable. Everything's good. But that just didn't happen. It took God blessing people with good jobs and them being willing to follow what the Scripture says and pay their tithes to the church. And the church takes the tithing money and keeps the lights on. And they take the money and keep the heat on. And they take the money and buy padded pews and nice carpet and a good place to come and worship. It doesn't just happen. It works through us, amen, working together for the cause of Christ. Can I hear from you? That's how it works. He will supply all of our needs according to His riches in glory. So he's laying here asking of alms and he needs some help. And here's Peter and John. They're going to the temple to worship. And it doesn't really say how much wealth they have or what their possessions are. They're following the will of God. They're trying to be men of God. They're trying to honor Him. He don't really go into all of that with them. But you know, they're walking in the Spirit of God. They've got the anointing of God upon them. And they're walking into the temple. And as they begin to get close to the temple, here lays that man. How many times have we come into churches with somebody would come in and they're a little filthy, they're a little smelly, and they've been of the world. And a lot of times we'll look up our nose at them, we'll kind of walk away from them. But I'll tell you what, Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. I'm glad He wasn't worried about what my breath smelled like or what my clothes looked like. He called me just the way that I was, amen, and saved my soul. But a lot of times people look down on people for what they have and who they are and what they've got and all this, that, and the other. But we don't need to be that way. I'm glad the men of God saw him laying at that gate. And they said, silver and gold have we none. I ain't got none of that stuff. But what I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. And I give that to you this morning. I ain't got a bunch of money that I can give you. I ain't got homes and cars that I can give you. But I'll tell you one thing I can give you. I can give you the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He can save you this morning and change your life for all eternity. That's what I can give you this morning. I can show you who that is and lead you to Him. And He'll come in if you'll open up your heart and He'll save your soul. I couldn't save you if I wanted to, but I know one that can, amen. I can lead you to the one that can change your life forever. I'm glad I can show you one that can meet your financial needs. He can meet your spiritual needs. He can meet your health needs. Whatever you got going on, He can meet those needs this morning. Why? God can. God can do anything with anybody at any time. I'll never forget this. My two brother-in-law sitting right over here are bear witness with this, and my sister-in-law's. We were singing at a church one night, and the preacher that was preaching had a six-year-old son that was there. And his daddy was up preaching. He was pouring it out. He was giving the word of God, and he was letting it rip. And his son was sitting right on the front row. He's backing his daddy. Yeah, yeah, go, daddy. You know, he's backing his daddy. And it was amazing to watch it. And he's sitting over there, and he's backing his daddy, and his daddy's preaching his heart out. But his daddy did one thing. He stopped me, took a breath. And as soon as he did, that boy hit the floor. And I never heard preaching like that in my life. out of a six-year-old. Am I not right? And he took over. His daddy just had to sit down. And for the next 20 minutes, that young man laid out the Word of God. And he preached the Word of God. And the altar filled up that night with people getting right and their lives being changed. God can do anything with anybody, anywhere, at any time. He wants to do it. He can do it. I'll go even farther. Your very breath is in His hand. You're just a breath away from eternity. It's right there in God's hand. And He controls whether you live or die. And if He's decided today is your day, He can take that breath of life right from you right now, and you'll die right where you sit. We live, we move, and we have our being because of God. That's the only reason. Now, that's not popular this day and time. They want to preach and teach every kind of doctrine, every other kind of God that they are. They ain't no God like my God, amen. My God supplies my needs. I ain't praying to a piece of wood, amen. I'm praying to the God that makes a difference in my life, amen. Now, the Hindus and all these different ones like that, they have 250, 300 different gods. Could you imagine trying to keep up with 300 gods? What a mess that would be. I'd never know when to pray and not to pray. I wouldn't know what to do. But I'm glad there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one heaven. We're all going to the same place. We serve one God. There's not many gods. There's one God. Jesus said, I am the way. He's the only way. And if you're going to see this one day after a while, you're going to have to go through Him to get to the Father. All that's free this morning comes straight from heaven. And we get to thinking about this man being lame and needing a touch from the Master. Needing a touch in his life. And here Peter and John say, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. Now, when they walked up to the man and said that, they didn't both get him under the armpits and raise him up, and he shook and, you know, and raised up, and then they walked him into the temple, and he took therapy and wore braces and all this kind. They ain't none of that went on. They ain't none of that went on. The Bible says immediately the strength came into him and he leaped to his feet is what the Bible says. I believe if I'd been laying at a gate and hadn't walked neither, I'd been leaping too. And he said he went into the house of the Lord, leaping and praising God. And I know all them probably Baptists at that time probably thought, what is wrong with him? You start leaping and praising God and raising your hands and shouting unto the Lord, and you get a bunch of Baptists looking down their nose at you. Oh my goodness. He's lost his mind. I'll tell you one thing. There's something inside of me. Makes me want to leap and praise God. Amen. Makes me want to run and act wild. I don't know about you, but for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. It stirs me up sometimes. Amen. I can't stand this dead religion. Now, I do realize everybody worships different. I'm going to get on a tough one now. Everybody worships different. But I'll tell you what, you take a stick of dynamite and light it up, it all explodes the same way. Now, he may blow a stump this way and blow a stump that way, he's going to blow that stump up. You ever seen them drill a hole under a stump and stick a piece of dynamite in it? It will blow it out of the ground. That's like a Holy Spirit of God. He'll come by, drill a hole right under me. And when I start feeling it run up the back of my neck, it's going to blow me up. And I get a little excited. I can't help it. It runs over. I mean, it runs the tears out of my eyes, makes my arms fly up in the air, makes me act a little crazy, jumping in pews and everything else. Why? Because I love the Lord. Amen. And that's the way I worship. You may not worship that way, and that's fine. But I'll tell you what, it all explodes the same way. Get a little excited. You're in the quietest place you're ever going to live. Heaven is going to be a noisy place, I'm telling you right now. I'm going to be the one going, boom, running by you just every little bit. I'm going to be the one running by you. And you say, who is that? That's Brother Gary going yonder. He's just happy in the Lord. That's what I wanted to do when I was a young man. When I was in school, I loved running. I loved running. I never did get to run track, but I loved it. We lived in a head of a holler in Kentucky, and it was 2 miles from the head of that holler to the end of the holler where the school shelter was. Anybody remember them school shelters? You got in, caught the bus, ain't nothing. Y'all act like I'm talking something foreign. We had to walk out of the holler to the school shelter and stand there and wait in the cold while the bus came, and then we'd go to school. It was 2 miles. And it was downhill from the house all the way to the end of the holler. And as soon as I stepped off that porch, boom, I was gone. I ran all the way to the end of that holler. I would not stop running until I touched that school shelter. I loved it. When I got off the bus in the evening, I come out, you know, steps on the bus. As soon as I stepped on the ground, boom, I was gone again. I'd run all the way to the head of the holler, and when I touched the front door, I stopped running. I loved it. It was awesome. But as I got older and got more weight on me and realized I had asthma and all that stuff, it started slowing me down. Now I can't hardly run to them double doors. I'm so winded I can't go. But you know, in my heart, I still want to run like that. And one day, when I get to heaven, I'm going to have a new set of lungs. And I'm going to be the one that you're going to see running. Because I'm going to run as hard as I can run. Why do you act that way, Brother Gary? That's just the way I feel. I just like to worship the Lord that way. I like to raise my hands. I like to shout. We all worship different. But we see here this man, he's glorifying God. He's leaping and praising God for what the Lord's done in his life. Have you ever done something like that? God do something for us and we don't even thank him for it. We'll be going on 2 or 3 days later and remember, God did answer that prayer for me. I'm not going through that no more. Thank you, Lord. And we go right on. You know, that's got to break the heart of God that we're so ungrateful for his blessings. And you may say, Brother Gary, you don't understand what I've been going through, what's been on me. I do understand. I'll tell you some other people that understand. Over in Mark chapter 5, the Bible talks about, you may ask a question, who can heal you when you're sick? You'll read in that chapter, I preached this message a while back about the woman with the issue of blood. She reached out and touched the hem of his garment and was healed. Who can heal you when you're sick? God can, amen. And he goes on from there. You may say, ask, when you're hungry, who can feed you? You can look over in John chapter 6. You'll see where God there, that Jesus blessed the people and he fed 5,000 men besides women and children there that day. Who can feed you when you're hungry? God can. He can do these things for you. When the world comes against you and they're all coming down upon you and they'll throw you right into the pit amongst the wolves and the lions. You can read that over in Acts chapter 7, I believe it is, where Daniel talked about being in the lion's den. You can read those references there. Who can deliver you when everybody comes against you like that? God can. He's the one that can do it. Then another one I got to thinking about was Stephen. He stood up for the Lord before the people and tried to be a witness unto them. And what'd they do? They took rocks and stoned him to death. When people want to kill you, who can deliver you out of that? God can. He's the one that can do it. Buddha didn't do it. Allah didn't do it. Muhammad can't do it. They ain't none of them going to deliver you like God can. Brother Gary, I've been going through this. I've been going through that. Well, I'm going to tell you what. I brought an illustration just to give you something to think about. I put this sign on this. This is God's can. And every time that you think it, you can't do something and you can't overcome, and you can't do this and you can't do that, I want you to think how God can do anything. Now, the devil follows me around all the time, picking, probing, knocking, tripping, doing all this stuff to me all the time, trying to trip me up. If you don't believe that, you ought to get a Bible and watch the devil follow you around. The closer you try to get to God, the harder he's going to work. And I'll be looking sometimes, what is going on? And I'll be having all this emotion going on, and the Lord's trying to help me, but I'm listening to the devil. The devil's pulling one thing right out after another on me. And I start saying, what is the problem? And I'll reach into my pockets and I'll start looking, and this will be the first thing that the devil pulls out on me, is worry. Anybody y'all ever worry? I know I'm the only one, but any of y'all ever worry? Matthew 6:34 says, take ye therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for itself. This is the biggest waste of time that you'll ever spend in your life, is worrying. I do a bunch of it. I'm as guilty as any of you. But you know what you do with worry? You put it in God's can. God, I'm giving it to you. I'm not going to worry about it no more. I'm putting it right there. That's where I'm going to put it. And you know, that may let up on you and everything's fine, and all of a sudden you'll start checking and there'll be something else. You'll have fear in your life. Any of you have been afraid? Don't raise your hand, but how many of you have been afraid this week? Afraid of maybe what the doctor was going to say. Afraid of what was going to happen to this or to that, or just fear. You're just afraid. And the fear is just overtaking you just about it. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 1:7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. He's not given us that fear. So if you're living in fear, you're going against the Word of God. I know sometimes things come upon us and we do get a little afraid. That's when we call on Him. How do we call on Him? We give it to Him. We put it in God's can. God can do it. And if you keep looking, there's places all over you that the devil's doing stuff. This is a good one. How many worry about your finances? Can I raise both hands? My leg? All of it? We worry about our finances, don't we? Especially as we get older. We worry about retirement. We worry how we're going to take care of our families. We worry about all this stuff. We worry and we think, Lord, how are we going to make it? What are we going to do, Lord? One of my favorite scriptures, Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. What do I do with that? Put her in God's can. Why? Because He can do it all. He can take all this stuff from me. And as the devil keeps on tempting, I keep looking. Now I'm searching out my life. I'm trying to get in the place where God can use me in my life. So I'm looking every place the devil's sticking something. And then I start looking, right there's a good one. The job. Now, some of you guys are already retired. You ain't got this to worry about. You're like, I ain't got that one. I'm good on that. Me and Brother Earl still worrying about this. We're running up and down the road, people trying to run over us and everything else, and we're worried about our jobs. And this is, the devil uses this stuff. He'll use this against you. Philippians 4:19 says, but my God, as I've already read, shall supply all of your needs. My life started before my job, and it'll be there after my job. Why? Because He's going to take care of me. Why? Because God can. God can do it, amen. So I'm going to take my job, and I'm going to give that to God too. I've got the devil on the run now. I've made him mad. I'm searching. I'm trying to find everything he's pulling on me. And it don't stop. You ever do that? Get angry? Ain't no Christians get angry, do they? You chew your wife out this week. Somebody dropped her head. Who was that? We've done it, ain't we? We've chewed her wife out, chewed her husbands out, chewed her children out. We've been mad. We've tried to chew the boss out and everybody we work with and everybody we've been around. Go to the grocery store and you can't get Jell-O for the 30 cents you thought you were supposed to get it for. So you chew the counter lady out for it. I'm tired of this. Now that's representing Christ, ain't it? And then when you're chewing somebody out and you're really getting it, I mean, you're doing it, man. You're letting go. You're letting devil have his way and everything. And one of them walks up to you and says, "Don't you go to Vickers Chapel?" "Yeah." "Ain't your pastor so?" "Yeah." That's the way it is. It'll tell on you. This kind of stuff, that's the way the devil is. And then he'll remind you, "Well, what a good Christian you are." Get angry like that. The Bible says get angry, but sin not. Okay? It's all right to get upset, but don't blow up and go off on somebody. You need to take it and give it to God and put it there. And he just goes on and on and on. I've got them in every pocket. This is the way the devil works. He'll stick them in every pocket. I worry about my children. You ever worry about your children? I thought before I had children, if I had children, once I got them to 18 years old, I didn't have to worry no more. Boy, was that a lie. That's when it really begins. You know, I'm almost there. Lord, help me. Y'all pray real hard for me. You know, we worry about our children, and we want God to bless our children, and God help our children. Help us help the children, God. And I'm trying to help them, Lord. And the Lord's saying, if you'll give that to me, I'll do something with it. So we give it to Him. This is a lot of our problem as Christians. We worry about what people think. Now, I want you to think good of me, and you want me to think good of you. That's human nature, and we should want that. We should want a good testimony. We should guard our hearts and guard our testimony. But this is what the devil likes to use. Everybody's worried about everybody else and what they think. But when it comes down to the end of the day, you shouldn't worry about what anybody thinks. You should be concerned about what he knows. I wonder if he was to call today, are you ready? Have you give this stuff to God? Are you carrying it around like baggage in your life? Have you give it to God? God has a will for your life. 1 Peter 5 and 7, I quote it all the time. Cast all your cares upon me because I care for you. There's something to that scripture. He ain't talking about just saying, Lord, I got a problem. He's saying, give that problem to me and I will take care of it. He's talking about putting it in his can. It's time to take the trash out and put it in God's can. Let God take care of it. He can take care of the job, the finances, the children, and everything else that's going on in your life. God can take care of it. Can I hear from you? But our problem is God has provided the trash can to throw the stuff in and get rid of it, and we'll walk right by it and not even do it. And we'll carry this stuff around because we like it. You ever heard the old saying, misery loves company? Hey, some people just like being miserable. I don't know, understand it. The Lord has given us 66 books to follow to lead and guide and direct us and show us what He can do in our lives, but we'll close it up and won't even read it. We won't even follow it. And then we'll cry and moan and go on about how bad life is and how bad everything is. And you've got the answers in your hand. I know everybody in here owns a Bible. I probably own 10 of them or more at my house. Shame. I mean, that I don't read more than I do. And I wonder this morning, are you reading? Are you studying? Are you seeking the will of God to put it in God's can? Because He can do anything in your life. The Lord challenged me this week in this message to ask you, is there anything too hard for God? As we stand with our heads bowed this morning.